Blog Talk Radio.
Fasten your seatbelts. The foremost authority on 9/11, the best-selling author of Methodical Illusion, and a researcher extraordinaire, Rebecca Roth is about to step up to the microphone and launch into Reality Check, where the light will shine brightly upon the truth.
Live from the clubhouse of Jacksonville Beach Golf Course on Penman Road in Jacksonville, Florida, Jacksonville Beach, Florida, it's the Rebecca Roth Show, starring Rebecca Roth.
How'd you make it to Jacksonville Beach, Florida?
It's a short hop from Ocho Rios.
Wow. So I bet they got a great golf course there, too, huh?
I wouldn't know. I haven't been out on it yet.
I can see what you're going to do later on or tomorrow, huh?
Maybe tomorrow.
Well, welcome to the Rebecca Roth Show. It's always a pleasure, and Ramjit, we never know where you're coming in from. I love that.
And it's always nice to know that Blog Talk is working.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Blog Talk.
Because one never knows. For those of you who last week wondered what in the world was going on, we are all set up, ready to go, and Blog Talk just decided to stop sending things through our headsets.
Through our headsets, through our computers and everything. So that what we call the studio that shows up on our computer screens went blank, and it was just sort of dead in the water.
This is what happened last week.
Fasten your seatbelt. It's going to be a bumpy night.
It was a bumpy night. So what we had to do was quickly tape a show and upload it into Blog Talk the next day. I guess it worked. And then we stuck it on YouTube that night. So sorry about that. But, you know, sometimes stuff happens, I guess, like we say. So
I want a book update.
A book update. Okay. Well, I can give you one of those. Oh, man, where do I start? There's so many things that come together here. And, of course, I'm still researching. No, the book is in edit now. So it's with the editor. And she gets a third of the book at a time. So I try to go through after it's first written and then kind of edit myself. Because when you're writing and you're seeing scenes in your mind and, you know, putting details of your research in, sometimes you put a he instead of a she, and sometimes you forget to put a comma in. So going through, she's got a third, and I'll get that back probably Monday. And then she gets the other third, and then she gets another third. So by the end of this week, I probably should have the book completely edited. After that, it goes to the publisher, who has it formatted into the ebook, the softback, and the hardback, and each one has to be formatted and then sent in to the printers to start production. So, boy, I'm looking like somewhere really close to the end of June, that book's going to be on the market.
I think you were telling me that sometime this week you'll probably have pre-sale stuff in your store for the book.
Yeah, I've just kind of been waiting to make sure that everything's going good, you know, when you're depending on all these people. For instance, I really wanted to put this book in a box or a sleeve and do the set so I could do all three and put it in some sort of box. That might not happen because I can't get anybody that's interested to do something that's affordable. I don't want to charge people a ton of money for this little sleeve. I thought I could get it done much more reasonable than people are coming at me with quotes. So we may end up just doing a super price on the three books and they'll be autographed and that sort of thing. And then also I have bookmarks made. And so we're going to have those and they'll go out with all the new books and all the books that are sold. And it's a bookmark that basically is for the whole series, the three book trilogy. And then I'll probably put those on where you can buy them maybe a dozen at a time. So if you want to suggest some friends or family want to read this series, you can just give them a bookmark. So they'll find out how to get the book, where to get autographed books, and that sort of thing. And I'll just put those in. They'll be real reasonable. You can get maybe a dozen at a time or a couple dozen at a time. We'll put a couple options in there. And So yes, we'll put that in there. So all kinds of things are going on. Just going to make sure that, cover art is done. So I'm not depending too much on the graphic artist, although I have a meeting with him coming up on Friday this week. And then just to get the text put on the back and all of the final details. And then the cover is my favorite so far. It is my very favorite. I loved his Methodical Illusion cover. I was okay with Methodical Deception, but this one I absolutely love. And I think you guys will too. It looks really cool. And it just, to me, it's like Methodical Illusion. It says something just looking at it. You don't even have to.
It's Ramjet hanging from the gallows.
No, it's a really cool piece of art. So anyway, very excited about that. Let's see, what else can I tell you? I'm going to guess that it's going to be really close to that last week in June sometime that it'll be ready. And then sometime the first week of July, I will probably be somewhere where the books will start being shipped in, where I can get them signed so the autographed books can go out. And then we have, we'll have the sets for sale and all that jazz. So here's something I've just did. I don't know when. In my downtime, I got a new an idea to do just a little blog where I can just sit down and answer a question or, just blog a little something or other. Like somebody asked me the other day about Gracie, the girl that died in Methodical Illusion. And it's really hard because there's so much truth about 9/11 in these novels that people want to know, did my husband, Jeff, really die in a motorcycle accident? And did Gracie really get murdered in Paris? And so I'm going to cover some of those things. Then when you have questions, I'll write a little quick blog on it. And I put a link to all of the blog on all of the, I think they're all on the home pages of methodicalillusion.com, methodicaldeception.com, and RebeccaRoth.com. Just look for a little red and white puzzle and it says blog. And if you click on that, it takes you over to a Wix page. Now, Wix is a software I've never used before. It's kind of a fun little landing strip for this little blog. I'm not sure if I got the comments by discus set thing figured out. Try to make a comment, if you will, in that. And then I'm working on another WordPress blog that might be kind of fun, too, but that'll come out later. Everything's moving right along. And I'm really excited about the release of this third book. And, for me, I did so many interviews. I probably did 100 interviews from the first two books. And, after I did Coast to Coast AM and Caravan to Midnight and Hagman's, I've already heard from some people that want me back. And I have to tell you that, before I do an interview, I'm going to talk about a book. I kind of write down some little notes, little PowerPoints that bullet points of what, I want to say, what I can say. And with this next book, all I can say, my knowledge, procedures for hijacking and normal procedures and the Bureau of Transportation Statistics and all of those things that I knew and putting it all together and knowing that the cell phone calls had to be made while the aircraft was on the ground somewhere. And that's how I found what I found.
I had an interesting experience not too long ago. I was in the dentist's office and we were talking about 9/11 to some extent, not really in any depth. And he was a typical person that just believes the government story and never really has given it much thought in the last 15 years. And I said to him, how do you respond to the fact that cell phones don't work in the air? And, for the most part, they still don't work. And he thought about that, and he thought about that. But, it didn't really, change anything in particular because didn't tell him anything about anything. I just made that comment, and he just went, oh.
Well, and that's one of the things that wakes people up to when they stop and realize. And, those FBI transcripts that I uncovered, some of them have had things added and some have had things deleted. And the one of the very, very first transcripts from the day 9/11, 2001, from the ticket agent, reservation agent in American Airlines, when Betty Ong said he stood upstairs when he had sprayed pepper spray or mace in business class, "We can't breathe up there." And my mind immediately went to flights out of Hawaii, or one time out of Asia, we had big clay tubs. They're like big, gigantic ginger jars of kimchi. Kimchi's fermented garlic and cabbage. I'm not sure what else, but trust me, when those things broke downstairs, which they did on takeoff in the 747, the entire aircraft suffered with the smell.
And I'm sure the people who had luggage in the luggage compartment,
oh, yeah,
it still smells like kimchi.
Yeah. Even our luggage that was stowed upstairs in the, you know, on the main cabin level, smell, our stuff inside our suitcases smelled. It was really bad. But I immediately remembered that, and then how Hawaiian tourists buy that flowery pukaki cuckoo wiki wiki cheap perfume at the counter. It's very floral, and they buy it at the souvenir shop there, and they spray it on them and they get on board, or they've already sprayed it on, they get on board, and it really permeates the whole aircraft once you're pressurized. And if they, you know, want to clean up and spray that stuff while you're still in the air, maybe just starting your descent, it doesn't take but about 2 minutes before everyone in first class is smelling what that guy in coach sprayed on himself. And I started to think, and when I heard Betty Ong say that, you know, we can't breathe in business class. And yet she sat on the phone for almost a half an hour and never complained about the pepper spray or mace. I was like, oh, my God, they're not in a pressurized cabin anymore. No wonder she can make a phone call. And, by the way, I also found documentation that they claimed that she was on a cell phone. And not both of the flight attendants on Flight 11 were on cell phones then. So what does that tell you? You know, for me, I was like, wow. And once we started putting it together, and one of the gentlemen that has joined me, air traffic controller, said to me, you know, once you figured out where the planes were landed and how they were remotely taken over by whom, then we could start to look and see with eyes that see. And that has been the difference in uncovering who did what and how it was done.
Well, I think, you know, in this book that you've got coming out, a lot of what you're exposing is a direct result of your research into the logs from the towers and also the radar. Now, I have to tell you, that's pretty boring reading. Nobody is going to just dive right into that stuff and read it just for the heck of it, because it's not going to really tell them anything. But I think this gentleman's point was exactly right on when he said that once you figured out where they went and and how they were taken there, then when you go back and you read the logs and the transcripts and the various things from the towers and air traffic control and the radar, you're looking for something. And that's a whole lot different than just, you know, pleasure reading on a,
right,
on a chase lounge at the beach.
Yeah, it is not the most interesting reading until you know you're looking for that needle in the haystack and you found five or six haystacks. But for me, it's a challenge. I'm kind of weird that way, I guess, because I love to do research. And I've actually kind of taught myself air traffic control. Like I said in our last show, I think it was, you know, when I was in high school, I was going to be an air traffic controller. I thought that was just the coolest thing. I don't know why. But here I've gone full circle now, and I've been teaching myself. And then also it's been extremely helpful, the air traffic controllers that have stepped forward and that are a Skype phone call or a text away or an email away that says, help, what does this mean? Because of the stuff, I just need to have it reconfirmed for sure. I think I know what it is, but when they reconfirm it, I'm like, oh, okay, that's what I thought. And so when we know what direction we're looking for, and one of the things that was really telltale was when the FAA uploaded the terrorist quote file, we have some planes, we're going back to the airport at 6:37 a.m., an hour and a half before that plane departed Boston, and put a copyright on it, it's very telling. And a lot of the radar from that day, from 8:30 on that day, till crash, supposed crash times, was also uploaded early, way too early. And so when we started to see stuff like that, we're like, oh my gosh, this is a cover up. And now we have to uncover what they're covering up. And it is just absolutely mind blowing. And then, you know, for me, what's happened is when I saw Thomas Keene and his partner there, he was the chairman of the 9/11. Lee Hamilton, the chairman and the vice chairman of the 9/11 commission. When he said that the FAA and the Pentagon, this will be the opening quote, actually, of my next book, had given the 9/11 commission so many misstatements, I read that as lies, that they were considering an investigation into the FAA and the Pentagon. And when I read that, now their book came out, I think, in 2006. And when I read that, I thought, wait a minute here. What are you saying, sir? Well, that's exactly where I really looked. And once I discovered that the aircraft had been taken over by the remote control system, and I've even got somebody that was with DARPA out of a very top secret military base that informed me that in the mid to late 80s, over 180 different aircraft had been made into drones, and that they flew those drones using them as radar and target practice, shooting them down. They used some old A4 Phantom jets, and they would paint their wingtips orange, and that would designate them as a QF4 drone in the mid-80s. Wow, that was a long time before 9/11, wasn't it? Hello, we do have drone technology. We've had it for a really long time. And DARPA was also working on, with those drones, they called it Operation Home Run at the time. It was a very, very dark black operation secret, but it became well known to the gentleman who owned the SPC Corporation, and they cooked up this flight termination system for the onboard computer systems that could be put onto commercial jets. So once we figured all of this out, then we started to look, and then we could see things. And it's the same thing with the radar and other documentation from air traffic control towers, air traffic control centers, and the FAA headquarters. And that's what's been really fascinating to me. It's like, okay.
Yeah, but I think the common theme that runs through the people that have helped you and assisted you in your research is I can't believe they released this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
How in the world? Did they ever let this stuff go? And I think probably the answer to that is, one, whoever released it couldn't read it and didn't know what was in there, which makes perfect sense. And two, you know, they've got a lot of phony baloney stuff in there that, they use to try to cover things
excess. Up. Excess, yes. Yes, there's a lot of excess.
So you have to wade through that.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's like files that are the same information with at least 4, if not 12, different names. So you can go through and see the title, the file name, maybe it's like 5AEW716 or something like that. And then you can look and see another name, like 3AWA622, and it's the same information, but you have to look so closely because something like Betty Ong's words might have been changed or left out or added.
You know, the other one of the other things you mentioned was that some of the more interesting things you found were in the trash.
The trash file is the most interesting file I have, actually.
The trash they forgot to take out.
Yeah, there is a file. And I don't know, maybe it's an acronym for something, but it says September 11th, T-R-A-S-H, all capital letters. And I'm like, whoa, this is weird. And so, of course, being the curious person that I am, I'm like, why would they put the trash in this FOIA request? Maybe it means something, you know. Maybe it's an acronym, you know how they do. I actually just found not too long ago a web page of military and government acronyms. I guess I should go check and see if trash does mean something besides what we would throw away. So anyway, it caught my attention. And lo and behold, if I didn't find things in there, If they wanted to throw them away, I wonder why. And there were some really interesting things in there. And of course, it's all coming about out in book three, because the trash ended up being really the whole story is in the trash.
Oh, that's the name of the book, Methodical Trash.
Is that your working title? Yeah, I was like, could I steal that? Yeah, it's just amazing. This file is so fascinating that I guess, you know, when I'm talking about putting things together, and people are like, well, are you going to do a nonfiction? Yeah, I'd like to. But I'm going to need to take a break after this a bit. And the reason I say that is because it's not, I could just put all that stuff in a flash drive or a external hard drive and give it to you, but you couldn't read it unless you have some pilots and some air traffic controllers and some military people to find you somehow and come and help you.
And you knew what you were looking for.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I think we know now what happened. I think that, you know, when you hear, I get this a lot in my Facebook group. When you hear somebody talk about, you know, Flight 11 crashing into the North Tower, you go, no, it didn't, because you know better now. But there's a lot of people that are still stuck and brainwashed into what they think or what they were told really happened that day.
Well, you know, it's not only that, it's people that know better, but they're afraid to say what really happened.
Oh, that's true.
You know, and so they stick to the, you know, the government story, and that's kind of where they're at. And that's part of what's wrong with this country today.
Yeah, it's, you know, we have really collectively as a nation been so brainwashed. There are many, many, many more people in Europe that are much more awake to what really went on that day.
And Canada.
Yeah,
a lot of
too.
People in Canada
oh, yeah.
that contacted
me. Yes, I've sold cases of books to people in Canada. I think there are people that have bookstores, actually, because I when I sign them, which I think is kind of cool, that they get autographed books to sell out of their little bookstores. But yeah, lots of people in Canada that are, you know, kind of into trying to figure it out. But, you know, like I said, the hardest thing in looking at 9/11 is to not be sidetracked by internet lunatics, because there's a lot of them. My goodness sakes, there are crazy people that are all wrapped up in the 9/11 conspiracy, and they cook up with the craziest stories. And that reminds me of this lady. Her name was Sophia Small Storm, who called me to tell me at the time my book was number 9 out of 8.5 million on Amazon, and it was in the top 10 at Barnes and Noble, that I couldn't write, that I couldn't create a character or follow a storyline. And that she told me that she thought I was Illuminati, and that my pose in front of my poster of my first book cover, The Methodical Illusion, was all very Illuminati. And I just thought she was so crazy. Well, go to find out now, she thinks all of these, everything that goes on is not true. And, you know, she's one of these people that thinks nobody died on 9/11. Well, I'm here to tell you that people are dead from 9/11. And I have had probably the most touching emails and letters and phone calls with people who lost family members in the towers or on the planes or as crew members that you can even imagine. So the nonfiction, I'm going to try to put all of that in there, but with the government data, I have to explain to you what you're looking at, or you, it would mean nothing to you. I know when I first looked at this stuff, I knew I was looking for a needle in a haystack. I knew I was looking for something. I never dreamed that it would be something as out front and simple as the meta tagging, the time and date stamp that I saw on the radar that was before the planes took off. I mean, that's like, okay, well, that works. That tells us something. That tells us a whole lot of people knew in advance. Because you remember we were talking about how George Bush sat in that school and the Secret Service. Now, if interesting stuff is going to come out about the Secret Service in this third book, too, because of some of the crazy stuff they did. Not just the FBI, not just the CIA. The Secret Service did some really weird stuff that day. And I know why. But they didn't attempt to do their job, which would have been removing the president and get him into a secure location up on Air Force One with fighter escorts, which they didn't get either. Right away, they wouldn't have let him sit there for a half an hour if they really thought this was a serious, real terrorist attack. Absolutely not. So they obviously knew that he was never in any danger, that everything that was going to take place was going to be at the Pentagon and up in New York. So, well, that was very telling. Well, I guess the same people that are working, like Thomas Keene and Lee Hamilton told us, the FAA and the Pentagon. So that's where I really look. And oh my goodness, what I found. So what we want to talk about today, I don't know, this is kind of a long intro to this.
You wanted to say, is Homeland Security, are you safer today? And the answer is no. Show's over.
Right. We're going to talk about what happened after 9/11. And you'll remember that George W. Bush came out and he said, well, the problem was, ends up being that there was a lack of communication between government agencies. The FBI didn't talk to the CIA. Nobody talked to the FAA, blah, blah, blah. And so his fix for that was to create a monster, a multi-layered monster called the Department of Homeland Security. And coincidentally, he put the guy in charge the first, Tom Ridge, who was the governor of Pennsylvania, which was where Shanksville supposedly happened. So we got him taken care of. Okay, so what happens is they create the Department of Homeland Security. And they, in turn, create the Transportation Safety, is it authority or agency? I don't know, TSA. And we all know the TSA now. If you've ever gotten on an airplane since 2002, you know about the TSA, the blue-gloved lunatics. Well, interestingly enough, first I want to talk a little bit about the Department of Homeland Security because I think this is really important that people think about this for just a few minutes. The Department of Homeland Security runs several divisions or aspects of homeland and security. Anti-terrorism is one. Well, we haven't really had much terrorism here in this country since 9/11, now have we? Border protection, of which we have zero. Border protection. You're looking at a southern border where we've talked about this before, how the media is setting us up because they're not doing any protection of the border. Here that is, Department of Homeland Security. And they're doing nothing. Not only that, they're going after sheriffs like Joe Arpaio who are trying to do their job and arresting illegal immigrants that are coming over the porous, unprotected border. So that's Department of Homeland Security. They're also involved in immigration. So when somebody like Sheriff Joe Arpaio or some of the other sheriffs in the Arizona and Texas, they pick up these immigrants and they find out that they're illegal. They've just marched over that unprotected border. So the Immigration's Department, also under Homeland Security, what do? They don't deport them. They let them out. They let them out. That's why they're fighting Joe Arpaio, because he's trying to get them to go back and keep on the other side of that border. But there's nobody protecting the border because that's Department of Homeland Security. They also run customs. They also run cybersecurity. They're also a part of something called disaster prevention and management. Well, they are a disaster being managed, I guess.
Well, you know, the disaster is just beginning. I
yes.
mean, it's one thing to get the people into the country without any real scrutiny at all as to who they are and what they are up to. But then I was reading the other day where San Francisco wants to make illegal aliens and give them the right to vote.
Yes, that's going on all over California.
And you knew that was, I mean, anybody that with a brain knew that that was going to happen. That was the next step. But wouldn't you think just by definition that Homeland Security's one of their primary responsibility is to keep non-citizens from participating in the political process? Imagine what can happen if you have a majority of people participating in the political process that aren't citizens of the country.
Yeah. How about people that hate the country? How about those people that burn the American flag and wave other foreign countries' flags that are not here legally and beat up people that are trying to go listen to a presidential candidate? Well, there's your America, people, because Department of Homeland Security is right on top of it. Well, here's a mind blower. Now, earlier before the show, I was just looking in to a little bit of this information because I, you know, I hadn't looked at it for a while. I asked Ramjet, can you tell me how many people do you think the Department of Homeland Security, now remember, they were really created so that there wouldn't be this crack in the sidewalk, so to speak, this failure to communicate between the CIA and the FBI and the FAA and all the other alphabet agencies. Two, how many employees do you think you guessed like 120, right? 120,000?
Yeah, about 150,000.
There are 240,000 employees of the Department of Homeland Security. Now, let me just run this past you again. Their job is anti-terrorism, border protection, immigration. Now, right there, they've got three failures. Cybersecurity, so you know what's coming next. Disaster management. And disaster prevention, which you know they're not going to do because they can't handle the southern border. And they won't let a sheriff do his job because they handle immigration. So they just let those people go. Remember, they've let all these people, illegal immigrants, they're murderers and stuff. They let them out of prison because they're illegal. They have more rights than American citizens now through the Department of Homeland Security. So one of the other things I found really fascinating about the Department of Homeland Security, it is actually the third largest cabinet department after the Department of Defense and the Department of Veterans Affairs. Homeland Security policy is coordinated at the White House. You wonder why that southern border is open? Ask somebody at the White House. There's a gal that's in charge there. Her name is Lisa Monaco. She's currently the head of the executive office of the president. She's the Homeland Security Council. She's an attorney. She's from Chicago. She grew up in Boston, of all places, and went to a law school at the University of Chicago. How interesting is that? She has absolutely no background in the Middle East, understanding religion or Islam or terrorism, but she's an attorney. And so I found that was really interesting. He says somebody completely incompetent. She's an attorney. That's all. In charge of this. Well, her job really is to just keep the president up on matters relating to Homeland Security. So she's another level in between the people that are working, the 240,000 people that are in the department. She's the in-between for all of them to talk to the president and keep him abreast of what all those people have found out or what they're doing. So one of the other departments that's really under this is the transportation safety, TSA. And so when we go to the airport, you know, now we can't bring more than 2 ounces of shampoo with us or mouthwash or a bottle of water.
Hey, I heard something very exciting. If you are over 75, I think, I could be wrong on the age, but if you're over a certain age, you do not have to take your belt and shoes off.
Oh, Jesus.
And I'm thinking, okay, why would you advertise that? They'll just recruit old terrorists.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, that's very true. Because that's the way we are, let's say, as we become senior citizens. Okay, so I'm looking into this. Now, I know that we've all heard of crazy stuff about the TSA. But the TSA, I'm just going to read a few headlines here that this is just on a quick search, Google search or Bing search or something. Just the headlines. TSA chief is out after agents fail 95% of airport breach tests. What an airport breach test is that an airport employee, this could be someone that works at the hot dog stand, it could be a ticket agent, it could be anybody that works on that secure side in the airport, in one of the shops or various things. Could be flight attendant, could be pilot, could be anybody that goes through there to get to their job, which we all did. Okay, so they bring in a fake Molotov cocktail or a fake pipe bomb or a grenade or a gun or a knife or box cutters or whatever, you know, weapon of choice. And at 95% of the time, the TSA fails to find the weapon. And that's a test. It's not a real hijacker or a real terrorist. This is from a year ago, June of 2015. That's 1 year ago, 95%. So what does the government do? Well, they just out the TSA head. Off with your head. You're out of your job. That person was embarrassed, I guess, enough to leave. And so, again, here's another headline. TSA screeners fail to detect explosives and weapons. Surprise! TSA has not improved since failing 95% of their security tests. Now, this has been going on for years, because now this was dated in November of 2015. These are just headlines from Google search. Why the TSA catches your water bottle, but guns and bombs get through. So you can see there's no sense going on here, right? Like, just like the southern border that the Department of Homeland Security is in charge of, not being the border police aren't even being allowed to do their job and protect our border. Why is that? You have to ask yourself that.
I heard it was faster to get to the southern border than it was to get to the Denver airport.
Oh, I'm sure it is. Yes, I'm sure. Here's another headline. TSA failing to detect weapons and bombs at all New York airports. Explosives and weapons made it through TSA checkpoints 95% of the time. TSA still missing guns and explosives. TSA failed to detect mock explosives and weapons. I mean, these are just some of the headlines, right? Okay, so here's another fact that is something. Now, these are the people that are at the airports that are supposed to be keeping the planes and you as a passenger safe. Now, I found an article that was written by the WCPO in Cincinnati. This was in October of 2012. Now, this is 4 years ago. 400 TSA employees were fired for stealing from passenger luggage from 2002, when it was created, to 2011. Now, this is an ABC report that's compiled using Freedom of Information Act data. 16 of the top 20 airports for theft filings by TSA agents, and I'm going to tell you who they are also the top 20 airports for passenger traffic. Well, that kind of makes sense. But these guys are paid to go through your luggage to look for explosives and are stealing your jewelry or your designer clothing. So here's what they are. Miami had 29. This is now up to 2011. Again, this is now 5 years ago. In between 2002 and 2011, that 9-year period, Miami had 29 TSA employees fired because they got caught. Now, how many of them don't get caught? 29 employees fired for theft. JFK, 27. Los Angeles, 24. Atlanta, Hartsfield-Jackson, 17. McCarran in Vegas, 15. LaGuardia, New York, 14. Dallas-Fort Worth, 14. Newark, 12. Philadelphia, 12. These are people who the federal government hires to go through your luggage, and it goes on down the line. So depending on how much traffic you have, how much theft you have, because the more traffic you have, the more theft you have by TSA federal government agents that are employees of the Department of Homeland Security, the same people that are not protecting our border. There are 240,000 people not doing their jobs. Apparently. So you feeling safe yet? What do you think, Ramjet? You're in an RV, right? Traveling around.
You know, I'm thinking that back in the day when you used to just go to the airport and get on the airplane, nobody checked you for anything. Mm-hmm. They didn't even check you for guns. You're probably safer then because nobody went through your luggage. I know that.
Well, your stuff was safer because it wasn't going to get stolen because nobody was rifling through it looking for anything that might be worth something. I mean, it truly is amazing what is going on. And when you look at what the Department of Homeland Security, I mean, this is 250,000 employees. And again, their job is anti-terrorism. Well, we don't really have terrorists, so I guess they watch the CIA. They watch the Mossad. I guess they're keeping their eye on other intelligence agencies that are here to cook up another false flag. Border protection, immigration, customs, cybersecurity, disaster prevention and management. That's what the Department of Homeland Security does. Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to look at that little list and say fail, 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 fail. And then we talk about the TSA.
Well, you know, the Secret Service is now under the Department of Homeland Security. Prior to this grand merger, they were under the Treasury Department.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were under the Treasury Department, you never, ever, ever heard about screw-ups on the part of the Secret Service.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a, I mean, not to say that there weren't, but, you know, you didn't necessarily hear about them, and that they basically did their job and everything was cool. Now that they're under the Department of Homeland Security, it seems like almost monthly you hear about Secret Service agents that, you know, are, you know, drunk and disorderly, that are doing all kinds of, you know, running prostitution rings,
child pornography,
you know, whatever it is,
chasing down kids on the internet as a creeper. And I just saw a headline, a story of a Secret Service guy who had the White House detail, and he was just busted, but he's already in a federal prison for something else, but he was busted for going back to like 2012 or 2011 or something, going back several years, where he thought he was communicating with a young underage, a young teenage 12 or 13 year old girl, but he was really communicating with an agent. Now, how dumb can a Secret Service agent be to do such a stupid thing as that? But he had the White House detail. I mean, you're right. You see things now that you never, ever heard of from the Secret Service, but they are also as under the big umbrella. Now, Bush really fixed this, right, because he made this monster huge, so nobody's going to talk to anybody. But also FEMA is also, the FEMA agency is in here. And the thing I find interesting about FEMA, you'll remember that FEMA was given the investigation at the World Trade Center collapse, when the buildings collapsed. The NTSB wasn't ever allowed on that property, which is who normally would be there investigating, looking for plane parts or body parts or anything that from an airliner crash. They weren't allowed on the scene. It was FEMA who was given the investigation, which,
well, you know why,
a red flag there.
Because FEMA stands for Federal Emergency Management. And it was a federal emergency because they needed to manage all the details so people wouldn't find out about it.
That's true. They were managing the cover-up, weren't they?
Exactly.
They didn't want anybody to see that the gold had been removed from those vaults. Somebody knew beforehand enough to take the gold and the precious metals and other nice things out of those vaults.
I hear that's going to be in your book, too.
Yeah, there's another touch on that, you know, because it's important. It's important that people did know in advance. Yeah, it's, you know what, I listen, when I think about the stuff that's in this third book, it stops me in my tracks. You just heard me do that. I just stopped myself in my tracks because it overwhelms me how mind-blowing it is, and it's not a fantasy. And I know when you read this third book, you're going to stop and you're going to think, I don't believe it. But this book, now that we knew what we were looking for, there is documentation in the FOIA documents that document everything from the methodical illusion to the deception to the third book. It's
methodical
all
trash.
It's all there from the trash file. No, a lot of it did come from that trash file. And, you know, it's interesting because I did work this into the person in the book. With my own look at that, I thought, why would they include this pile of trash here? This is a file and it's marked trash. Is it really trash? Is this an acronym for something? What's in there? And so as I started to look, and you know what I find? I go back to that trash file almost every day. I still am looking in that trash file because I'll find something somewhere else and go, well, I wonder if this is in the trash file. And yeah, it is. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I still don't know. I'll have to look up that acronym because, you know, it's weird because it's spelled in all capital letters like an acronym often is.
So if anybody knows, write into Rebecca and tell her what it means.
Yeah, we are our traffic controller.
Because we want to keep her out of the trash.
I just keep diving through it. It was like, you know, is there something hiding in there? Or is it an acronym? Or what is this file? It just got me so curious. And so my character, you'll recognize this conversation when you read the book, the third book. The character, I put the same feelings that I had when I was discovering the trash. And then when I started looking, and when I find things like certain kinds of airplanes that were in the sky that day, I'll go, hey, I wonder if there's a flight plan in the trash. And lo and behold, it is. Every time it's like, hey, it's in the trash.
So really, you're confessing that you're just nothing more than
diver.
A glorified dumpster diver.
You know what? As a flight attendant, we used to say We're just glorified garbage, man, because after you serve, well, on a 747, for example, there's only 420 people. Most of we were always full. And so we have like our 20 or 30 up in the front and, you know, another 20 or 30 in business class. But just about 400 people are back there in coach, like 388 or 380 or something, depending on the aircraft, the configuration and all. But close to 400 enough when you're pulling their trays full of trash and you've got their, you know, dirty napkins and sometimes an occasional dirty diapers been put in there or dirty Kleenex. And you're going through and you're picking up trays of all their used devices, their silverware and all their dishes and all. And then there's these four people in the galley, which I did my share of galley duty. And sometimes you literally can be covered with frosting. I remember coming out of Hawaii, we used to serve a cake all the time that was a coconut cake with a coconut icing, white icing on this cake for the dessert. And there were often times where I would, you know, finish putting everything back in those little carts that you have to push everything in, and also to be just a certain height because the clearance from tray to tray is only as high as the cup and the dishes are in there. So nothing extra could be in there. Your bowls can't be upside down and stacked up and all that stuff. Everything has to be undone so that you get this huge amount of garbage coming in at you. And there's a couple of you, usually 747 galley. And you're going as fast as you can, and literally you get covered with frosting and sometimes coffee. And it's we used to laugh, and we're really just glorified. And then somebody would always pipe up and say, well, where's the glory? It's got to be in this carrier somewhere amongst all of this food junk that was in there. And I'm back in the trash again. So that's what I am. I'm just a dumpster diver, trash diver. But, yeah, it is interesting and to be add a little serious note to this. I have been getting from some people that know what I've discovered. Because as I discovered what I did, in order to keep myself alive, I've shared this information so that I'm not the only one. So if I get Breitbarted, it's not going to die like I would. So it's been disseminated. But what's interesting is the people that have come forward and we've had lengthy conversations that know what I've found have oftentimes said, I just can't believe they released this, and I'm really worried for your safety. And I didn't do the Freedom of Information Act draws, but I do know that the intelligence agencies are on top of me, and I know they listen to my show. And so I'd like to say hello to them. To Deep Throat and all of you guys that are pushing me in the direction to go, because I'm probably going to end up having to do another book about this. No, this series is done, but it's going to get really different. Yes, it's again reconfirming things I found in the second book and through all the other research I did. But I'm grateful for the Americans that have the balls to stand up and help, and I'm very, very grateful. So when you read the thank you in the next book, I can't list them out by name, but they know who they are. And you guys would like to know who they are, but I can't tell you who they are. I tell you, but then I'd have to kill you. Remember the Top Gun movie?
You know, you talk a lot about on your shows about the weirdo trolls that, you know, are detracting from you and causing, you know, problems. But they are insignificant compared to the number of people that have come forward and really have helped you.
Oh yeah.
And have helped you find things and have helped explain things to you and pointed you in directions. You know, you mentioned Deep Throat, you know, there, that's more literal than you, than most people think. You know, and so from a perspective of, you know, balance, the help is far outweighs, you know, the mm-hmm. goofy little, pinheads that you know can't compete.
Yeah, and you know it's interesting, like that Sophia Small Mind and Fetzer and these losers that can't sell their books. It reminded me of junior high school girls that are just jealous because your hair is prettier or your skin is better or your shoes are more expensive or whatever. It's just such junior high activity, and you know at 65 I'm a long ways away from junior high. So I'm just not interested to play the game. I just have no interest in that. My interest is one thing and one thing only, and that is to expose the truth of 9/11 on behalf of the flight crews, most of which gave their lives that day, and they just went to work. Not all of them, however. Well, I don't want to give away too much of that.
That might be in the book.
Well, that was a hard one for me to go to, you know, and it's really hard when you have your mind set on something that something cannot be, that it has to be one way or the other. And to do research, what you have to do is let go of that emotion. And that one was a really hard one for me to let go of. When I got a phone call from someone whose family member was involved, it was absolutely mind-blowing to me. And I keep using that term. I know I've even put it in the book a couple of times, because it's really going to be a hard for me. It's going to be really hard to do interviews and talk about this book, because it is so overwhelming and the truth is so much stranger and more horrific than fiction. I mean, the truth of this event is mind-blowing. And the fact then, when people start to look, and I know I've delivered it all in novels, and it's a lot easier to digest that way, and I've had lots of people thank me for doing that, but it's allowed them to wake up. For me, it allows me to look at everything with a new set of eyes. I look back at what I was taught in school in history, and look back at things like the Holocaust. I wonder how much of that was true. How much of what was Hitler really a bad guy? Or how much of it was manipulated for us to believe an agenda? It's just like 9/11. I mean, I know that for a while, personally, I could not look at 9/11 as something other than what they showed me on TV. I just couldn't go there. I could not face the fact that our government and a foreign government or two could have put that together.
Let me just clarify. Hitler was a bad guy. The question is how bad was he?
Right.
And, you know, things get blown out of proportion,
yeah,
and construed and made to look like whatever they are. And
history can be rewritten and revised.
Well, there's no question about that.
And lied about. You know, it's just so interesting for me to see when I have all these documents, and not only that, I have people that have come forward to reconfirm that I'm right on. And these are people that are in agencies that I can't even talk about that know what was really going on. And it's like, kudos, lady. You figured it out. And, yeah. But it's hard. I mean, for me, even, I just, literally, sometimes I stop myself in my tracks when I think about the gravity, the enormous gravity of the charade of the hoax, like Max Hager in the books, you know, it was a card trick, and how the media was so involved in this. And then Diggs brings us back to Lady Booth and Barbara Olson. I mean, the media was so involved in
that.
Well,
and if you don't believe that, look what the media has done just this week in Hillary's coronation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of a sudden she becomes the presumptive Democratic nominee, and they fall in behind her and create the veil train that you can't possibly imagine.
Well, in the New World Order,
it's what they want.
Right, the Bilderbergs. You have to understand what's really going on. I mean, I bring this in to the methodical illusion, so you can start to look and understand and look up people like Danny Casolaro, the Octopus, the New World Order. George Bush Sr. talked about it, 1,000 points of light. There's all this crazy Illuminati, satanic, cabal stuff going on. The Bilderbergs are meeting tomorrow in Germany. They choose who's going to run. They're trying to figure out how to stop Donald Trump. They do not want anything but open borders and a flood of illegal immigrants from any country. They don't care, because what they want to do is destroy your pride in your national pride, your pride in your flag, your pride in your country, because that's their agenda. And that's why they are flooding this country with people that are not here because they want to come. These are people who've been bombed out of their homes, and they're going to be angry.
Well, not just this country.
I mean,
if you want
Europe
to see
too.
How effective it has been, yeah, check in on any of the European Union countries,
yeah,
and see what immigrants to the extent of can't controlling
well,
happens.
Exactly. And if you come out of an Islamic country where they don't serve pork And they send you into Germany where everybody eats pork. I mean, constantly, pork is the thing there in Germany.
The Wiener Schnitzel.
The Wiener Schnitzel. I mean, it is just so much bratwurst and all of that stuff. And that it's offensive to them. But you know, they didn't choose to go to Germany. They're just trying to survive. We're the ones dropping bombs on them. So, you know, you have to kind of understand, but going to happen is what's happening already in Germany and France and all that. They are no longer French and they're no longer Germans. They no longer care about those flags. So they're being overrun, and nationalism, that national pride of the German team or the German company, country or the German people is gone. And that's what they're trying to do to us. And we are a land of immigrants, but we come here legally. I mean, my grandparents came here legally. It wasn't easy for them either when they came. So I'm not against immigrants, but it's the people that fail to come here, like La Raza people. They want to come over and take the land back for Mexico. That's nuts. So you can see that all that stuff's going on, but it's the agenda of the New World Order. They want to destroy your national pride. Your pride in your flag and your pride in your country. And that's one reason they put a total doofus in as the White House, in the White House. So you can't stand up and be proud. I mean, none of us were proud of Bill Clinton and the cigar Monica Lewinsky escapade. And that's really when it started, really started when we got the doofus president. Now the doofus queen has been nominated. So if we don't stop the New World Order, they'll stop us. So it's an interesting thing to see. But you can see when we're talking about the Department of Homeland Security, you know, another thing that they're involved also in is domestic nuclear detection. You see, I think they'll fail at that as bad as they're failing at the immigration and the border control, probably. So, you know, I mean, it's just we're talking about a failure. So you've got this gigantic monster.
I don't feel safer.
Exactly. So I hate to do that. That's just such a reality check. But, you know, people think, oh, if I take my shoes off. No, I'm sorry. But these people are the terrorists. They have the inside, the back door into everything. Everything. They want to pull off another 9/11. They can do it in a heartbeat. I mean, in all seriousness, it doesn't matter if you took your shoes off to get on the plane. If it doesn't matter if you only have 2 ounces of shampoo in your bag, because they can do whatever they want to you, just like they did on 9/11. And when you finish reading the book, the third book, holy moly. And what's going to happen then? I'm going to open up my blog.
Oh, I thought you were going to have a quiz.
No, I'm going to open up my blogs because you're going to have questions and I want to give you the answers. And so I can put them out there on the internet so they're out there to stay in case anything happens to me before I get this nonfiction book done. Because it's really a lot of explaining to the layman. I was one. So before I understood what all the acronyms meant, where all the long distance radar was, where things are that aren't airports that were involved in this, before I understood it, it was Greek to me. And it will be Greek to you as well, unless you've got some experience in the air traffic. So it's going to be a lot of explaining so you can understand what you're looking at. Just like when you look in the appendix from Methodical Deception, look in the appendix. See where, what time, what day, and the copyright of the FAA on that terrorist labeled voice recording. We have some planes. We're going back to the airport.
So the nonfiction book is going to be entitled Explanations from a Dumpster Diver.
Rebecca Roth in the Trash. Well, that could be the third book, I guess, couldn't it? Anyway, thanks for joining us. I hope you don't feel safe. You're really not any safer, but just look about how big a failure Department of Homeland Security is. We're in trouble as a nation. So we want to talk some more about being prepared, because you better be. Think about this. You better be prepared. Even Obama's saying it. Have an escape plan and have your food and water and necessities ready for you. Anything can happen now. We're overdue.
Yeah, that's interesting, because you were mentioning that. And just last year, they were saying that if you've got extra food and extra water, they're going to come after you.
Yeah.
Now they're
really
telling you to get it.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, he's been out and telling people they need to be prepared and they need to be have an escape plan. If you're in a city, have an evacuation plan. I thought that was interesting. And have your food and water and get your bug out bag.
Okay. We time. So thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. Who knows where Ramjet will be?
Gosh, only knows, huh? All right. Thanks.